Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. In England every day, there's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. You have lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights, but we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL, or the spirit of the EDL. How about that, guys? anyway, before I start, I just want to give a big kudos to my buddy, my wingman, Dave, for the great script, the great slides, and the script that he's written tonight. And I think tonight might be a little bit fiery, ladies and gentlemen, so If you've got a seatbelt, strap yourself in. I think you might be in for a roll. You know, I think I might be on one tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So strap yourselves in, sit back, get your popcorn. We're ready to roll, and we're ready to roll. Okay, the title of the show this evening is English Defence League Radio Show Pride Profiles 2023. Welcome to the... I'm sorry about that. Night's my poet. She decided to put a horn-rimmed glass and running around the cage on one. welcome to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell, and my wingman is Dangerous Dave Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing profiles of the public figures that influence many people and impact all our lives. Profiles in courage and cowardice, generosity and greed, good and evil. The truth is the sword and the shield of patriots across the planet, however hard it sometimes is to hear. No surrender ever. all that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And of course that was by the late great Edmund Burke back in the 1770s, ladies and gentlemen. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me bring on my my wingman, Mr. Dave Agadir-Milner. With that, I wish you and good evening to everybody in the USA and across the globe. Love you all. God bless you all. And with that, Dave, over to you, brother.
And thank you, Jeff. And a big thanks to Charlie, our executive producer, in the background. Yes, hello everyone around the world and of course off Earth. We never forget you guys. Yeah, wow. Let me just start out with a little bit of housekeeping here first. If there has ever been a complaint sustained about this program, it's that sometimes our show openings are a bit long, and part of that is because we want to give people time to get into the show's chat room. And if you want to get into the chat and have Jeff give you a shout-out, go to blogtalkradio.com and look at the top center search box there. Type in the English Defence League Radio Show or EDL Radio. Follow the links. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat and Jeff will give you a shout-out and things of that nature, and you can pass information on to him or whatnot. So, Jeff, before we begin the beginning of the beginning, is there anybody in chat right now, brother?
I've looked in all the corners. I've looked under the table. I've looked in the cupboard. I've opened the door. I can't see anybody at the moment, Dave. Anybody there? It's a bit hollow at the moment, Dave. But you know what? Give them time to get their popcorn, because I said, get ready to put your seatbelts on and that, and have your popcorn ready, because we're all fired up tonight. So they might be taking notice of what I've said, and have rushed out to get their popcorn, Dave. You don't know, they might be cooking their popcorn as we're talking. No, but at the moment, brother, it's a little bit quiet on the southern front. Or the east coast, should I say. The east coast, Dave.
Okay, Jeff. Yes, everybody. Yes, strap down, strap in, strap up, and strap on, or whatever you do. But
don't turn the strap on, Dave. You get people really thinking, what is he talking about, strap on this show?
Yeah, Dave, it's not going to be that.
You set us up already.
Yeah, it won't be that kind of a show, but it also is not going to be the kind of show that we originally, around the middle of the week, thought it was going to be either. And part of this is because of something that happened on Thursday. Now, Thursday, I was unable to do my normal segment that I do with Ken McClinton on TECN.TV on the Exceptional Conservative Show because they were having technical difficulties. which normally I on Friday mornings in the UK, Thursday evenings in the United States after 9 p.m. I do a segment with him, but wasn't able to do that on Thursday. So I went, I said, what the heck? I went and looked at the Gettys. Now, the Gettys is a set of awards that are given by the people in charge of Getter. And, of course, I am UBG contact on Getter, and Jeff is Nightlight 777 on Getter. These awards are given out, and the award for the most requested new user was given to Nigel Farage. Now, I was in the chat that they had up at the time, and I don't think it was a mistake, but to some people, I made the mistake of telling the truth. I said, let's not forget that Nigel Farage wanted to see Tommy Robinson in prison and is rather soft when it comes to the threat of Islam. And I had people saying, well, imagine comparing Nigel Farage to Tommy Robinson. So, yeah, we're going to do a little bit of that today. I said to myself, self, I said, let's do that. Let's make that comparison today. And I've cleared all this with Jeff. And it's for this one reason. When talking about politicians, especially politicians you like, you have to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, first, guys, for those who might be listening who are new and thinking that we weren't behind Brexit here on this program, you can check our receipts. All of our shows, all of Jeff's shows, rather, for 2016 are at the EDL Radio Show's Blog Talk Radio page. They're archived there. You can go back and listen to them. We were definitely behind the entire Brexit movement and well off into it. And I'm gonna step aside for a second and let Jeff talk about how much we were involved in it, since it's his show. Jeff, we were pretty involved,
weren't
we?
Well, I know you, basically, ladies and gentlemen, on the night of Brexit, I was a bit tired and I retired to bed. But I knew Dave and the late Kel Fritzy, you know, the Red Fox blogger, was going to be there sitting, discussing the night. So when I woke up in the morning, I was pleasantly surprised to realise that we got a Brexit. And I want to pass it back to Dave, because him and Kel like listened, and it was so nail-biting situation, because they said to me, I thought, well, I can't really tell myself because I was asleep. But it was such a pleasant surprise. I tried to run around my bed. It's too big. But, yeah, it blew me away. I mean, because in politics and things like that, you don't know how they can twist things. And the truth of the matter, we've seen in American politics, haven't we, Dave, the way they fiddle things. And sadly, the great loss of our great president, because I like Donald Trump, and I thought he was great for the United States. But the Democrats decided they was going to play dirty, and like they normally always do. So, yeah, we, you know, in that sense. And, of course, Mr. Trump, the President Trump, was behind our Brexit as well. He wished us luck, and Obama's wishing the opposite. Don't vote Brexit. You won't have any... there won't be no room for you when it comes out to the jobs with the states and all that. And, of course, we done the opposite of what he said, because he's just nothing but a muppet, wasn't he, Dave? But let me pass it back to Dave, because he would then talk to you about the evening that I was talking about, that Dave and our late, great Kel Fritzy, the Red Fox blogger, sat and listened to all night, didn't you, Dave? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And before I talk about that, I'll just say that entire year of 2016, as it came down further and further towards the time for the people to vote on Brexit, we on this program, and I say we, it's Jeff's show, but all of us who participated in the shows were really rooting for Brexit and on here making the case for Brexit the whole time. Even I, as an American, was making the case for Brexit because I can't stand these Uber governments of these bureaucrats from foreign lands basically telling local people how to run their business. That's just not the way government should ever be. So I was big into Brexit and wanting to see it happen. Gail Fritzy, the Red Fox blogger, as Jeff says, was from Canada, and she was big into it and wanting to see it happen. In fact, every participant in Jeff's programs were into it that year. So don't anyone who is a big Farage fan believe that we were not fully engaged in the Brexit effort. And I'll just say briefly, that morning when the results of the vote came through, yes, Kel Fritzy and I had gotten up very early in our mornings. And we were just nail biting, because if you recall, listeners, the media was saying that the Remain was going to win, and of course they were heavy off into trying to make Remain win, but the momentum was with the people, and when the vote came down, when the results came out, that surprised everyone. Over the moon doesn't begin to describe how I felt. I said at the time, and I still feel this way, that it's a moment like the tearing down of the Berlin Wall that I will always remember. These brief, wonderful moments when the people speak and freedom wins. So let's not
hear
any talk.
An icon of the time, Dave. Yeah, that time, 2016.
Go ahead, yeah.
And also a great year for the United States, when your president walked into his office and became the president. It was a great year for both our nations, wasn't it, Dave? That year was a good year, and as I say, it played out the way it... Well, it's all right them saying, oh, Nigel Farage, he might have been helping, but 17 million of us weren't voting because Nigel Farage. We wanted out. So when it all comes down to, I've never liked Farage anyway. He's a backstabber. He talks about people, how they should be in prison. Look what he said about Jimmy Robinson. All this to try about trying to make him a saint. He's no saint. Tommy Robinson's got more credibility in his little finger than he has in all of his body. So let's not talk about comparing Tommy against that idiot, because that's all he is, a jolly, jolly good boy chap. Joined the elite. He was a part of the elite anyway, part of that lot. But he just tried to blend in with all the old good chappies out there. But anyway, with that, Dave, just to give you an heads up, Bigfoot's joined us this evening. He's saying, hi, Jeff, and Agador. And he goes on to also say, Dave, just one more thing before I pass it back. That's one thing I remember about Brexit. It was expected to fail, but succeeded. So there you go, Dave. And with that, let me pass it back to you, brother.
Well, there you go, yeah. And, yeah, everything Jeff says is absolutely true. If you're listening to this and you're a Farage fan, just remember that, yes, Farage was the front man for Brexit, but it was the people of the UK that, despite one of the biggest media blitzes to the contrary that I've ever seen, and I've been following politics since 1968, guys, okay, despite that, still voted to leave. Okay, they still voted for Brexit. All right, so that's huge. But when it comes to who speaks for the common man, is it Farage or is it Tommy Robinson? Tommy Robinson has suffered much, much to protect the young people of the UK and to protect the culture of his nation. And by his efforts, he has woken up the world to the threat of Islam when it comes to both of those things, Islamization and to the sexualization of non-Islamic children in non-Islamic countries. So Tommy Robinson isn't just a local hero in his hometown of Luton. He's not just a hero in the UK. He is a civil rights hero in the entire world. But Nigel Farage did not agree with that. In fact, we have the receipts here, and this one here I'm going to run comes from the 5th of June in 2018, and this one I'm going to go ahead and run this first, and then I'm going to run Tommy Robinson's explanation of the charge involved in all of this. Okay, this is about 3.5 minutes. Okay, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. I'm going to run this first part. This is Nigel Farage behind the mic, because that's pretty much all he's ever done, just like me, talking about Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson, it's a name you would all have heard of, former leader of the English Defence League, and, you know, a very high-profile and controversial figure. And now I'm allowed to say it, because I've not been for a few days, which is ridiculous, and let me explain why. Tommy Robinson has been jailed for 13 months for contempt of court. And to many people, this is absolute proof that we're moving into a police state, that something truly awful is happening. Well, you've got half a point, folks, but only half a one. Let's be clear. Tommy Robinson was under a court order not to interfere with the judicial process in any way at all. He chose, for reasons of self-publicity, and not to benefit anything that would help society, he chose willfully to breach that. He was warned that he was in breach of that, decided to continue. Frankly, the judge had almost no choice but to give him a jail sentence. So I think Robinson, frankly, was out there asking for trouble, and I don't think it was a very bright thing to do. Now, against that, let me just say that there does appear to be a very strong desire and willingness amongst much of the police and our judiciary to clamp down on people who make certain criticisms in society. And we are not dealing here with a level playing field. The whole point about religious freedom and tolerance is we should all be able to criticise and even mock each other. And I do worry that we're moving into a position where you can criticise some groups in society, but not criticise others. And I think for those of you who see Robinson as a hero, well, okay, maybe he does stand up for his point of view. But believe you me, his imprisonment in this case is not heroic in any way at all. And that, of course, will surprise some of you. But let me just say this finally. The fact we weren't allowed to talk about this for several days because of reporting restrictions is just a nonsense, because the internet has been awash with it. And the reason is the legislation covering reporting restrictions came in 1982 when, well, hardly anybody even had a computer back in 1982, let alone the internet. And we're in this ridiculous world where newspapers, television stations, radio stations are told, under reporting restrictions, they can't discuss some things, but out there on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram or whatever it is, there's a big open discussion going on. It's a nonsense, and I do feel that what I've just said about Robinson, I'd much rather have said at the end of last week than having to wait legally until today. Something fundamental needs to change with our reporting laws. The internet has changed the game. So maybe, just maybe, Parliament should wake up to that as well as the issue we're discussing tonight.
Yuck. Welcome back to the English Men's League Radio Show with your host, Jeff. Danger Man Mitchell. Go for it, buddy.
Yeah, so I was just throwing up as he was talking. He makes me want to throw up and vomit all over the place. Projectual vomiting when you hear him talk. Slimy, isn't he, Dave? Talk about slimy and defiling Tommy's what he was put under, because he was pushed into the court, basically. It was like was the old days when they used to kidnap sailors, put a press gang in, into the court, and of course there was a judge there who was ready to say, I think that's the, because it was a couple of occasions, weren't there? But as we all know, they do try to silence, and I mean, you know, they did try to off-tour him, Tommy, while he was imprisoned, and we know that. And we know how he starved himself because he knew they were trying to poison him. Well, they're putting all sorts of things in his food, and he decided to live off of tuna and things like that. And he come out like he'd been in a Belsum, you know, the in the prison of war when he's come out there. He looked, and I still believe that he looked like a real hero who decided, no, if I come out, however I look, it's mental anguish as well. You know, don't forget he was in solitary. He took all that. Nigel Farage talks the ha-ha talk. He wouldn't last one day in the same situation as Tommy. As I said, Tommy Robinson, no matter how you like him or you hate him, if you do, well, you're a very sad person. Because he stands up and he challenges everything what's going on in our country, especially where our children, or the children of our country. He is so passionate about that. And of course, they want to shut him up. Of course, it's going to cast shadows on themselves. So it's obvious it's a very dark woven web that's spun by them all. So, as I say, Tommy is a man of the people. When time goes by and history recalls, it won't be people like Nigel Farage that he talks about. You remember the days of Robin Hood? We still talk about them days now. Richard the Lionheart. Will it be Tommy Robinson, the man of the people, back in the 2020s or 2009 when he came up on the scene? So let's not forget that. And as I say, Tommy is still there, and he's showing all the willingness to go ahead and push on. He's made some absolutely brilliant documentaries, Name and Shame People, as you've seen. He's written books. You know, this man, even though he's right to bankrupt, I bankrupted him, he decides that he's put pen to paper, and people like what he does, like what he says, telling the truth in a common people's way. And that is what people are. And of course, good luck to you, Mr. Tommy Robinson, and God bless you for all you've done, and thank you for breathing life into the English Defence League radio, into the English Defence League organisation. And once again, I've got to thank you, and for the great mission statement I still live by today, as being the spirit of the EDL with the radio show. So once again, kudos to Tommy and all that he does, because it's all good, and it's good for the good cause. With that, Dave, back to you, brother.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep my comments to a minimum here, because I want to go ahead, Jeff, and play the Tommy Robinson's side of this. You guys have heard... you guys have heard Farage's side of the whole thing. All right. And if that's all you listen to, then you might be thinking, Tommy Robinson poked the bear and, you know, he got the paw. But here's what really happened. Okay. This is about 1¾ minutes, guys. So check this out before you make your final judgment. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go.
So I got my first contempt case, which was for down in Canterbury. And so people understand that. There's a court case going on in Canterbury. A young 15-year-old child went into a takeaway, a Muslim-owned takeaway, and asked for directions because she was drunk. Six of them took her upstairs, and they gang-raped her. All of their DNA was found on the mattress. She was found shriveled, walking down the street, emotional, crying, screaming. The police arrested them. One of them left the country. The rest of them were given bail. I heard about this, and I heard the court cases going on, and I heard they were still running the same chicken shop. So I went down to Canterbury. As soon as I went in, I went into the business next door. There was another business opposite. So have you seen any young girls in this shop? And they said, yeah, there was young schoolgirls in there yesterday. So for me, it's like, how can these men, whose DNA was found at the scene, it's not just an allegation, their DNA was found on the child. She was raped in every hole she had, yeah, as a child. So I wanted to show people who lived in that area, these men are walking your streets. Yeah? This is what's happened to a child, allegedly happened to a child. So I went to the court to do that. Now, when I went to the court to do that, the judge took them out the back, so I couldn't get visual footage of them. I felt people should be warned. I still feel now, the judge at 4 o'clock in the morning, after I went to try and warn people, they raided my house. They took me before the judge, and I was convicted because I filmed on court property. That's what I did. But I didn't know any of these laws. So those men were convicted and given 25 years in prison. They should not have been on bail. They should not have been running the same chicken shop. That judge failed the British public to keep them safe. That's what I was prosecuted for.
And there you go. That's the rest of it. Welcome back to the English Message Radio Show with your host, Jeff, Daniel Van Mitchell. Jeff, give you...
Yeah, well, we all know Tommy, and we know that even if he thinks there is a problem, that he would still go, because he believes in, freedom of the press, freedom to do what he's doing. And unfortunately, so they said he was reporting on prison steps. Well, I think he was a little bit away from the bills. I think there's a bit of controversy about that, actually. But at the same time, contempt, for what he did. He was showing up the system itself. I mean, it was good to see that they got, apart from one of them escaping and going back to Pakistan, 25 years. Now, that was a good thing. But Tommy had to serve time in prison, because he was upsetting the state, this so-called state of ours. And all he was trying to do was to show you what these people are all about. And of course, he got in prison for it. And people like Nigel Farage were rubbing their hands together with glee. As you heard, this wasn't a man that's quite shocked at the outcome. He was quite happy about it. So if you think I've got any time for Nigel Farage in this case, you're far from wrong. As I say, 17 million of us voted. It wasn't for Nigel Farage. It was against the Brexit. So he might have been the front runner, but we, the 17 million plus of us, did what we had to do. So if anybody helped us more than anybody, and that was President Trump. That was the one at the time he was in prison, but he was saying he looks very favourable to Brexit. And anyway, let me pass it back to you, Dave. I'm going off to the side there a little bit. Sorry, bro. Back to you.
All right. Well, Jeff, it does give rise to a lot. And you see the contrast here. Tommy Robinson was willing to show the people, and by the way, from what I was able to see, which, my vision is kind of dodgy, so, you can take that with salt. But what I was able to see, he was off of those courthouse steps. He wasn't on the courthouse steps when he took those videos. But that's why he was imprisoned, because he dared to show the public the face of the true Islam, the face of what Islam really is all about. And it's all about victimizing non-Islamic people. And people can disagree with that all they want, but the statistics and everything tell a different tale. And that's why Tommy Robinson was imprisoned. As for people like Farage, they're not interested in whether or not the young people of the UK or my country or anyone else's country are being victimized by these savages. All he's interested in is getting votes. and slandering people. He's definitely interested in that. And you look at Tommy Robinson, who's put feet on the street innumerable times, versus someone like Nigel Farage, who mostly sits behind a mic. And you know what? I do too. The reason I can't put feet on the street is because I've got a health problem or two. Nigel Farage, as far as I know, is a pretty healthy guy. Now, let's compare. I think somebody threw a slushy drink on Farage one time. I think that happened to him. Tommy Robinson, as Jeff described to you earlier, listeners, has gone to prison more than once for defending both the culture and especially the children of the United Kingdom. And there was that one time when he came out of prison, as Jeff describes. It reminded me, I can remember saying this on a previous show that we did here, it reminded me of how the prisoners looked who were imprisoned in the Hanoi Hilton during the Vietnam War when they came home. When they came home, they were, you know, they looked about as emaciated as Tommy Robinson did. Tommy Robinson has sacrificed much, including things like marriage and an ordinary home life and so much more. He is the most canceled man in recorded history, in my opinion, despite what the Gettys have, despite what the Gettys said about someone else. I say it's still Tommy Robinson. Now, they did, just to get to an aside here, they did give Tommy Robinson the Most Valuable Player Award for the UK. Extremely well-deserved. And while I may not agree with everything that comes out of Tommy Robinson's mouth, the respect that I have for this man knows no bounds. Knows absolutely no bounds, because it's easy to, for somebody like me to sit behind a mic and say this and that about this and that. It's difficult to, extremely difficult to, personally dangerous to put feet out on the street and put yourself in physical danger as Tommy Robinson has so many times.
Well, we've seen him being attacked on numerous occasions when he was with that that lady that time. They both was attacked, and he stood his ground against about six of them, and that's all about defending the rights of the people, that the lefties decided that they want to give Tommy a good hiding, and so many times he's ended up in hospital being battered, and but you know what, it's just Tommy Robinson. Tommy Robinson is like no other person I've ever known. And I've known some good people, but he is the one who walks the walk, who talks the talk. When he says something about what he's talking about, the these grooming gangs, he's speaking from his heart. He doesn't need scripts. He just does it. He does it right from his heart. And that's how I will always think of Tommy, in that way, with whatever he does. And I hope his life, you get some happiness, but unfortunately, you're walking down that dark path that you never know what's going to happen. So, yes, I'll always be in favour of Tommy. He's been a great, he was a great guy to have on the show. He was on the show a couple of times. But he was awesome to have around. And the thing about it is, when he came on our radio show, so it was just went crazy. Kel Fritz, you know, the late Kel Fritz, see the Red Brook blogger. She says, go mad, Jeff. It's lit up. It's like a Christmas tree. I said, well, there you go. But that's it. That was because the guy's got that crazy. He's got something about him that the working class people like myself and many others get. And what he was doing and just taking that step and taking what was thrown at him as well, you know, and his poor family, what his poor family had to go, his mum, his dad, his cousin Kevin, you remember the guy come up with a shotgun, he said he was going to slot me out and jump under loads of fences, you know, this was dangerous stuff. These two guys, when they started, they said, we're doing this together, you know, and they shook hands and thought, here we go, you know, let's go for it. And I know, because they both come on, and it explained. I said, what made you, you know, what made you do this? It's just had to be done. I can understand that, because that's why I'm here, because I believe that the cause is so important. And yes, as time goes by, you get a bit older in your life, but it's still there, it's fresh in my mind. Remember the days, you know, when the council was thrown out of it because at Rotherham, and of course the police commissioner stood down because he was found with dirty hands. That's what we did. And that's why I'm so proud to be who I am, even though it's just the shadow of what we used to be. I don't care. We are the pirate ship of the EDL, and the spirit of the EDL moves on. I'm sorry, Dave, it did take a little bit long. I know we've got a show to do, but I just needed to say that because it was playing strongly in my heart. Back to you, mate.
Arr, Captain, I agree with you. Yeah, I mean... what Jeff says is absolutely right. I mean, like, the EDL is not on the streets marching in their thousands like they used to be, but the spirit of the EDL, which is the protection of the young people of the United Kingdom and the protection of the culture of the United Kingdom, trying to keep the culture of the English people, Scottish people, the people of the UK, theirs, and not having it be overwhelmed and become the Islamic Republic of Great Britain or something of that nature, is an important and integral part of what the EDL was all about. And at the core of it was the protection of our young people. The young people in the UK, and that spawned defense leagues all over the world, and the spirit of that movement is still alive. It doesn't matter that they're not marching in the streets anymore, and we're going to address another portion of that, because I know there are some people who are making bad imitations of Jeff's parrots right now in the background going, racist, racist. We're going to address that. We're going to address some of that. But first, Jeff, is there anything else out of the chat before I hit this next one here?
No, I think Bigfoot's just watching what we're doing, and if he's got any comments, he will comment, as you know, he normally does. But it's good to see him here. We've got someone's missing at the moment, one of our regulars, but he might be, not family business, might it, Dave? You don't know, he might be poorly. But anyway, I'll give my thoughts to another friend that sits with Bigfoot in the chat. So, and of course, that's Duck Northwest Media, isn't it, Dave? So it seems strange to look at the chat and not see him there, because he's always quite regular. It's, you know, it's like a good oatmeal, isn't it? Very regular. Back to you, Dave. I don't know why I said that. Back to you, mate.
All right, yeah, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com is where Bigfoot's blog is. By the way, I just wanted to remind people of that now. Nigel Farage was not done with Tommy Robinson, and if you ask him about Tommy Robinson, he still is going to bag on the guy. Let me just play a small, and by the way, I want to thank Bordy Boy on Getter for supplying that last audio. That was a TikTok audio that Tommy took, explaining the whole contempt charge and everything. So thank you, Borny Boy. You asked me in private message how you go in live, and you put a grin on it. Well, I'm grinning right back at you, because this is how we're going live. Okay, but thank you for that audio. And now I want to play just a little bit out of Good Morning Britain for September the 24th of 2018. This was with Nigel Farage talking about UKIP, guys. You're listening to the English Defence League radio show.
I want to ask you what you think is happening with UKIP. a lot of people concerned that UKIP is being dragged in a direction that even you might feel uncomfortable.
I mean, even me. You know, when I was leader of UKIP,
your party.
When I was leader of UKIP, I actually forbade any former members of the EDL or the BNP to even be members of the party, because I wanted us to talk about real issues like immigration, but without anybody being able to say we were racist and actually meaning anything. And I think UKIP is now tempted, or some people in UKIP are tempted, to let figures like Tommy Robinson into the party, and I think that would be a catastrophic mistake.
Is it something that you would like to go back? I mean, you've led UKIP, you know, a large number of times.
For most of my life.
You're sort of like a boomerang with UKIP. Are you tempted to go back?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, I think nobody can be leader of a party forever, whether it's Blair or anybody. You know, you can't do that. But I would, I mean, UKIP could take huge advantage, particularly of this Labour situation today with the second referendum, but I think they've got to sort this issue out. You know, are they going to stay pretty much where I took them, or do they wish to move to the right?
Yeah. Welcome back to the Ian Smedley Radio Show with your host, Jeff Danger Man Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of that one?
Yeah, Dave, I'm just rolling a ciggy up here, so would you like to take the first bite of that one? And I'll come back to second it. I'm just rolling. If you don't mind, mate.
All right, Jeff. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, this here, this is yet another example of Nigel Farage being soft on Islam. And you can tell this partly because he whips out the whole racist word. See, the EDL was painted with the racist brush just so that people would not be in the EDL. But let's examine that first about racism. Okay, now this isn't going to be a Bill Clinton thing like saying let's figure out what the word is. This is real experience. I grew up in Texas in the 1960s and 70s. I can tell you, listeners, what real racism is. Islam is not a race. It's an ideology. It's not even, quite frankly, really a religion. And one of the things that it absolutely is not now, wasn't then, and will never ever be, is a race. So anytime anyone accuses you or former members of the EDL or Tommy Robinson or anyone else of being racist because they criticize Islam is for one of two reasons. Firstly, because they don't understand that people of any skin color can be and are Mohammedans. And secondly, and more insidious, they're trying to call someone a racist so that they can silence them. And that in and of itself, people, is racist. So if anybody, if you're in support of the movement to tell the truth about Islam, and someone calls you a racist, you can throw that right back in their face. And when they call you a racist, that will tell you everything you need to know about that person, quite frankly. And Farage did it then, and we're going to have a little audio a bit later of Farage doing it again. Okay, now Jeff, I don't know if you're done with your roly-poly,
yeah,
but
just as you cast it over to me, I was just right in the middle of doing what I'm doing, so I couldn't stop and concentrate. I'm not like ladies that they got this multitasking thing. I do one thing at a time, and yeah, no, what we said about Farage is so right. And, of course, I've heard this so many times, you're a racist. I say, well, define the word racist. How would you explain me being racist? And I've got so many friends of different races, even Muslim. I said, please explain why I'm a racist. You support the EDL. I said, I support the EDL because that is it. If you look at the mission statement, it's got nothing to do with race whatsoever. It is what's going on to the kids of this country, and we are against, we are for human rights issues, and that's what we've always done. Many times we talked about that, And they all said, if you want to call me a racist, call in and explain and define how you see myself or Dave or anybody else who's on the team in that way. Because it's just another way of banging you on the head and trying to silence you. But it's old. It's wore out, isn't it, the word, Dave? And it's tragic because the word racist, it should be used in a right, appropriate way. But unfortunately, it's been used by the left and, of course, by the enemy of freedom and that, basically, isn't it, Dave? So with that, political correctness, there you go. That sums it all up, doesn't it? So, Dave, make some good points. As you say, Farage saying he didn't want nothing to do with any English Defence League supporters joining. I mean, it's got nothing to do. I mean, he was gone. He was gone anyway. People want to join a fan of them. But there you go. It's just another way. Because he, to the truth of the matter, is the guy is a coward. He hasn't got the bottle to speak out. Like we do on this show, week in, week out, we'll tell you the way it is. And we ain't going to hold back. And we're not afraid of this cult of death. You know, we've all been under threats and this, that and the other. I know I have, many people have. But, you know, it just makes me more rigid in what I do. It makes me look forward. So, I am still here. I'm still ticking, slowly but surely. We're still going along, aren't we? And we're singing our song. And there's something I want to say, which I meant to say earlier, what you was talking about earlier, Dave. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I think that's what I was trying to say earlier. It just won't come out what I want to say. So I've just said it now, something you said earlier, Dave. With that, let me pass it back to you, brother.
All right, Jeff. Well, you know what? It's time for you to call back in. And good. I think it's time for us to take a little break. We're going to come back and hit this again. But it's time for us to take a little break. And I think that I'm going to play an appropriate tune for everybody. This is going to bring back some memories for any of our old EDLers listening. And it's a really fun one that I love playing once in a while. Again, this show is about the spirit of the EDL. It's about the spirit of protecting the young people of not just the UK, but the states and countries in Europe and South America and Africa and Asia and every country where people feel the threat of Islam. So check this out, guys, and we'll be back in 3.5 minutes. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
Okay, just something. I know Dave there might be getting a drink or something. I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I talk to Alex quite a lot. And for a while, I said to him, you know, about our time. But so, you know, sometimes he'd give me a call, see how I'm doing and what he's up to and that. So he's still working, he's still doing his thing, like he normally is, Alex. And we've become really good mates over the years. But I said to him, you know, when you do that EDL tune, I said, who's that woman in the background singing? He said, that's me, Jeff. I went, oh my, I didn't realise. And then Alex told me that. So, yeah, that's what stands out. When I hear that, how much he sounded like a female singer. Yeah, so he just went into, maybe something in the background he was worked on. But that's Alex. He's always improvising and doing things. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget. Myself and a couple more of our lads had travelled up to wherever it might be. It might be Birmingham, it might be Leicester. And as we're driving up and we're coming close to where we got to assemble in our meeting point, you could hear that tune playing. And it would half make your heart pump. You feel so proud, and then, you know, as you get out of the car, you move to the spot where, and you see the gathering, and then all of a sudden, I see a friend of mine, Debbie, one of our angels. She said, "Oh, Jeff," and she was all wrapped up and that, and you see, back in the day, when you come across people, you're talking about, you know, I mean, I used to be on Pal Talk, ladies and gentlemen, so I used to talk to Debbie quite a lot, and she was a bit like a co-host at one time there, but she was a great lady talker. So when you actually met, it was fantastic. We had a great time. But, you know, everybody you meet, everybody wants to come and give you a cuddle, shake your hand, and say, oh, man, it's so good to see you, you know, and it really was. I mean, that's what I miss about them times. It's sad. I'd love to be able to do what I used to do with all them boys and girls, them foot soldiers and angels, walking the walk with them. Yeah, I felt very proud to be a part of absolutely awesome people. They used to say, you're a legend, Jeff. I said, no, you're the legends. Every single one of them are a legend in my eyes, and I'm proud of every single, you know. That's how I used to answer, because, you know, when you know, people come up and give me a comment, oh, I love what you do. And, you know, it's it is nice, but I do miss it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I do miss them days. But the nice thing about it, I'm still talking to my dear friend Alex Clowes and, you know, part of the Alex and the Bandits. And that's that tune. That's how I always think of Alex. When I might be talking last week or something, he'd give me a call and find out what I'm doing. Oh, I've got a gig going, so, Chip, if you fancy. I said, I would. If my health was all right, mate, you know, I'd love to be there. But anyway, let me pass it back to Dave. Dave, I hope you're back now, mate. I was just trying to cover in for you when we come back from that tune. Back to you, Dave.
Brilliant, Jeff, brilliant. And I say brilliant because one thing that's good about the first part of a year, first couple of shows of the year and things of that nature, is you get a chance to kind of put down a marker for the entire year and remind people of things. So just kind of like we're reminding people about Farage. All right. If you're a racist, I mean, in other words, if you don't like black people or brown people or something like that, or if you're a Nazi or something of that nature, then there's the door. Turn around and be on the other side of it and suck a big one on the way, because we don't want anything whatsoever to do with you. Now, when Jeff was talking about, you know, going to the EDL events back in the day, he was talking about love. And that is what the EDL was all about. That's what the spirit of the EDL is, not racism, which is the first thing that the race pimps will pull out, and which is garbage, and which you're going to hear some more of from another race pimp. All right?
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
about love. It's always been about that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just to say, I was talking to a friend today, and I was explaining that the people that I know through my life, and you, Dave, you know, that they use that, you know, opposing you, use that word, but it means nothing. So people really know us, Dave, it's rubbish, isn't it? And they, people love us, don't they, for what we do and what we stand for. And so it's like water off the duck's back. But we have heard it so many times over the years, haven't we, Dave? Back to you, bro. I'm sorry to interject, but I needed to just do that.
Well, no, Jeff, hey, it's your show, man. So, you know, I mean, but we're going to continue on just for a little bit. Just for one more little sound bite from Mr. Nigel Farage, because we want to complete this comparison a bit. And we also want to show you his commitment to fighting the depredations of Islam. But I want to say first that that the gentleman that he's talking to, Mr. Avi Yemeni, was given the MVP award in the Gettys for Australia. So he's the most valuable player from Australia. Now, you want to, I mean, my God, you want to compare people. Nigel Farage doesn't stand up to Avi Yemeni either. There's another brother that's out there on the streets doing the thing, going after the truth. And yes, he's been harassed heavily. He's been threatened, all these things of that nature. But what does he do? He still gets out there and does the thing. So, guys, though, but he ran into Nigel Farage in 2019 on the 2nd of November. And let's just hear a little bit of that encounter. This is going to be about 4.5 minutes, guys. But listen to this. This is going to give you a really good insight into the character of Nigel Farage. You're listening to the English Defence League radio show, by the way.
A few nights ago, we were watching the Bolt Report. We'd seen, and it created a lot of conversation where you condemn those in the right that are waging war on Islam.
On the entire religion, yes. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, you can do it if you want, but you'll lose. You know, I mean, look, we have a massive problem right across the West with Islamism. I could take you right now to parts of Paris, parts of Brussels that are now unrecognizable as Western cities.
I've been there and I've seen it. I've served in the Middle East and I understand what you're talking about. I guess what people are asking is, the only reason we're not going to get into that battle is because we're going to lose, or because it's
morally
Islam?
It's wrong. Morally it's wrong, and we're going to lose. Look, the vast majority of Muslims living in Western countries are settled, are integrating. Then you find the ghettos where they're not even learning English. It's a disaster, and that extreme culture is flourishing. Let's fight Islamism. Let's fight the bad guys. Let's be a lot more robust about our Judeo-Christian culture. Let's stop practices like FGM being carried out wholesale. Listen, I'm not weak on this. I'm tough on this. But if this descends into a battle of hatreds,
absolutely,
history teaches us the ending will be very bad indeed.
Can I ask you straight? Do you think Islam is compatible? Islam itself, the ideology, is it compatible with Western values or not?
Is the Old Testament compatible with Western values? I mean, you could ask that question actually of every religion. It is about it is of course about interpretation.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
There are parts, latter parts of the Quran that are troubling, but do you know something? In 21st century world, there are earlier parts of the Bible that are troubling. This is about interpretation. Do I think there is hope that we can get the vast majority of Muslims on our side against the bad guys? That is what we absolutely must do.
Can I put it to you, last comment, because I know I'm getting in trouble, last comment, because somebody who's served in the Middle East and has seen it close up, the problem is that I see, and many see, is that Christianity, Judaism, they went through reformations. The problem in Islam is that the Quran is the word of God, can be unchanged. Muhammad was the perfect man. Every Muslim must emulate and be him. He married a six-year-old. He killed 600 Jews. How do we reform that when They say he is the perfect man. He's not Jesus.
I think there is a strong argument for reformation to go on within that religion. I wouldn't argue against that at all. But believe me, we've got a box clever on this. We've got to get this right. We must not encourage religious hatred between different religions and indeed between different races. We've got to get this right. We must uphold our principles, our culture, our heritage.
But do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible to...
Well, if it's not, we've lost.
Well, maybe fighting it is the answer.
Well, so how many will you kill?
That's the question.
No, I'm asking you a question. What are you going to do, kill them all?
I don't. Absolutely, I'm not pro-genocide. I personally believe that when you say moderate Islam, often I hear you talk about the moderates. Define moderate. There is one Islam.
I meet them every single... I think you're missing the trick here. I think you are saying that everybody that's Islamic is, you know, hardline on the religion. The vast majority are not. The vast majority of people of Islamic faith living in Britain are pretty well integrated into our society. I'd lots of them vote for me.
And I would argue they're not Muslim. They're Muslim by identifying as Muslim, like I identify as a Jew. But they're not Muslim by faith. You either believe Muhammad is the perfect man or not.
Then you would say that every Christian hates all homosexuals. Thank you.
I don't see Christians blowing up buildings. It's Islam that's the problem.
There you go. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I love what Abby said. He pulled him and pushed him, and of course he was trying to do somersaults. But you could hear really Farage's chicky shit on Islam. He wants to say it like that in a constructive way, but he's not going to say the way it is. I mean, have you got him really there? Well, you didn't really want to answer, have you? About their so-called prophet married a six-year-old. That sort of thing, he doesn't have an answer for. And we must be more rigid. Yeah, it's all up to you to say it. But as Abby said, what are you supposed to do then? You know, fight them all? Or that's what Ferrari said, fight them all? You know, then you're going to lose. Just because you've got to lose a streak, Farage, you know, a lot of us, I'm too old to fight now. But if there was a time that I'm going to protect the people of my nation, my kids, my grandchildren, I would do everything possible. Because as we see, an invasion has happened in my country. The politicians have allowed it to happen. And unless someone's got the bottle, this country is become, which is almost unrecognisable. You go into the centre of London, ladies and gentlemen, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm no racist. It's just, you go through there, and I remember it as a kid. The transformation over the last, say, 30 years is breathtaking. The places I remember that used to be quite unique and think, oh, I'd like to manage to live there, is now a hollow to what I remember as a kid passing through there. Everything has changed drastically. PC, everything, you know, political correctness, and that's caused a really serious damage in our countries, nations. Look at the United States, Dave. You see it yourself. You see what political correctness has done with your Democrats. How demo... Democrats, they are, you know, totally devoid of what it was, say, 30, 40 years ago. I'd like to pass it back to you if you want to respond on that point, Dave. You see the transformation, haven't you, brother? Back to you.
Thanks, Jeff. And yeah, I have definitely seen that in my own country. But let's examine this a bit. Okay, first of all, one of the things that struck me after hearing this, you know, and I'd heard it before, was what's wrong with this picture? Now, that was in November of 2019. Here we are in January of 2023. Now, what of the problems that Farage was talking about, what of those problems has been solved? let me ask you that quick question, Jeff, and then I'll respond. What of all of those problems that Faraj was talking about has been solved? Any other?
None of them. What he's
none.
Talking about,
yeah.
We're still seeing from 2010, 19, 11, we haven't seen no changes, nothing constructed. No matter what Faraj says, we're just seeing it getting worse. So whatever he says, got to be rigid, yeah? Well, why haven't you been rigid? And why isn't the country being more rigid? What's going on? There's a war going on around us, and people say we must be more rigid. Does it work? I don't think so, personally. I don't know what other else there is to do. Myself, personally, I'm an older gentleman now. I can't do what I'd like to have done, and I would stand up and fight for my country if I had to, but I can't because I'm too old. And but that's just my way of thinking. And because people like Farage just talk and run. Oh, we'll sort this out, but we must talk about it. And all the time they're flooding through the gates, and more, the National Health Service is breaking down. All of our things around us are grind to a halt. People like me are finding it very difficult to live under the gas and electric prices. It's killing us. And people like him sort of sitting there, their place, and have no worries. They've got money coming in left, right and centre. The people like myself and other people, elderly gentlemen and ladies out there, are suffering because of what governments allow to go on in our country. I just want to get out of there because it's just not me. I'm talking about millions of people in this country are suffering. You know, people with young kids. You know, even in my family, I've noticed that. My family. And I know how it's been difficult for them as well. So, you know, got to see it, tell it the way it is. You know, tell the truth and shame the devil. That's what I said earlier. I stand by that, Dave. And with that, let me pass it on to you. I know I was a bit spread about things there, Dave, but so many points was going rattling through my head then. And people like Faraj make me sick. He talks the talk and he runs. Hit, run. That's nothing. He's not an old gorilla, back in the day. You know, he's not that. People like was in the Englishman who used to get battered, basically battered, standing the ground, refused to move. You know, he was there. We wanted to defend and speak about the atrocities going on there. He used to get battered. The old Bill used to batter us, getting bricks lobbed at you, darts thrown at you, hypodermic needles. You know, people were getting hurt, but that never stopped us. It didn't frighten us. We was not frightened. Well, I was with men and women. And the women were as strong as the men. And until it got a bit rough. And, you know, you ask a friend of ours, Jan Rennie, when it got a bit heavy, the women would be passing the back. The men would link up and push and stop them from attacking. You see, that's what we did. That was defending our ground. You know, defending people's rights. And that's human, you know, the human values. That's what we've all stood for. I've worn myself out doing that, Dave. Back to you, brother.
Yeah, well, and like I said, nothing has gotten better in any country. In fact, it's gotten worse. The problems that Jeff is talking about here are basically, you know, partly due to the uncontrolled immigration that people voted for Brexit to get rid of in the first place. They voted to get rid of the uncontrolled immigration. They voted to get rid of the political correctness. They voted to get rid of the silly green agenda trash that was going on. And all of that has gotten worse. Across the board, it's gotten worse. And as Jeff says, here is this guy, Nigel Farage, that once in a while you still see him in Breitbart and other places mewling on about how about how Brexit should be more rigid and should be Brexit, and I agree with that. But that's all he does. He just gets up and talks. He doesn't put himself out there in danger, like Tommy Robinson has done. And well, let's give a couple of examples. When Tommy Robinson was running for MEP back in the day, one of his campaign stops was attacked by Mohammedans that the police escorted in. There's video of this, people. So we, you know, I'm not just talking out of my behind here. All right, they were attacked by.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got evidence. We've got it on video. So, Dave, sorry, I just want to come in and join your side there and say everything you say is spot on. Back to you, Dave. Sorry, mate.
Yeah. Now, that event was attacked. Now, what happened when that happened? There were children at that event. Tommy Robinson had a van there waiting to take him on to the next event. What did he do? He got all the kids put in that van and driven off to safety. That was Tommy Robinson. I can guarantee you that Nigel Farage would have jumped into that van like a wiener dog after a fox or something. All right, Farage would have been out of there. Tommy Robinson's main concern that day was for the safety of the children. There's one other example that I can pretty much guarantee that Farage would not have emulated at all. In one of his The Rape of Britain documentaries, Tommy Robinson found a place for the young ladies who had been victimized and who had survived the victimization of these Mohammedan grooming gangs to go to that would be safe for them. All right, this was an out of, and is an out of the way place where they could go and be safe. And even though I don't have any proof of this, even though I don't know that this is the case, I believe strongly that this was probably a place that Tommy Robinson had set aside for himself and his family before as a place to go to for safety, but instead he gave it to those young ladies that needed it. This shows the commitment that he has to the people of the UK. And as for everybody who still thinks that Nigel Farage is all that and a bag of chips, well, I guess you guys can watch him talk about stuff, in the various news feeds. But that's all the boy is going to do is talk. So there's no comparison. And I'm going to throw that back to Jeff. And Jeff, is there anything out of chat before we move on to our last item, brother?
No, there's nothing out of chat, but I like what you had to say, Dave, as usual. You should definitely inform there. As you say, Tommy speaks to the people. And you know the thing about it is, what comes across to you, he cares greatly and deeply, passionately, what's happening to the kids of this country and to these young women who later in their life been, you know, suffering all sorts of traumas. That's the people that he wanted to get to a safe place so they can have proper counselling and try to, you know, maybe live their lives a little bit easier, knowing that people care. And he cares. He is a caring person. No matter what people say about Tommy, yes, he can be rough around the edges, so can we all. But he cares and he loves people deeply. You know, that's why he does it. he does it because he cares. And that's how you can got to sum Tommy up, isn't it, really, Dave? That he cares deeply and passionately about those people that suffered under these hands because he's seen his own family. Don't forget what happened to his cousin. She was raped and groomed and she escaped, stark naked, running down the road. That's how Tommy remembers. If you ask Tommy, he'll say, I'll tell you something that still lives with me. What happened to my cousin? She was only a kid, and this is what happened. So he'll tell you the way it is. I'm not just saying it. If you get a chance to talk to Tommy, he will tell you exactly, because he shared that with, well, quite a lot of us. When he was on the show, he shared that a couple of times. So we know how it is. with that, Dave. Let me pass it back to you. My goodness me, tonight's gone quick tonight.
Yes, it has. And guys, if you want to support Tommy Robinson's work, because he's still out there exposing the truth about these grooming gangs and about other aspects of the Islamic threat and of the threat of what I've come to call the cartel, the lefties, the World Economic Forum creeps that are going to meet again, by the way, next week. You know, they call that an annual meeting. The last time they were there, it was June, okay? So that's only an annual meeting in the sense that if you happen to live on the planet Venus, okay? That's only 8 months. But if you wanted to support Tommy Robinson's work, he's Tommy Robinson 1 on Getter. You can get on there and find out how to support his work, because if there's any civil rights leader's work that deserves the support of the people, it's Tommy Robinson's. And now, Jeff, I want to switch over. This story here made me think of the Senator John F. Kennedy book, Profiles in Courage, which I read many years ago, and you can see the dust cover of it on our page here at blogtalkradio.com. All right. There in the United States House of Representatives, there was a lot of tension when it came to voting in a new House Speaker, because Kevin McCarthy, the guy who eventually won it, is a giant rhino. He works with Democrats. He supports Democrats. He does all kinds of things that Democrats want to do. But there were people. There were some holdout representatives from the Freedom Caucus who said, no, we're not going to vote for this guy unless there are some rule changes that will make things more equitable, not for us, but for the American people. And, Jeff, those people suffered a lot of abuse from idiots like Sean Hannity and all these other rhinos who claim to be a part of the right in the United States, but really should just, you know, glue a rhino horn to their head. Okay, I want to play this here. This is a description of their names and everything. And this comes, by the way, from Aaron McIntyre of the Steve Day Show, which you can hear at Blaze TV Radio and Podcast. But I wanted everyone to hear these names. This was done on the 10th of this month. This is 4 minutes long, and this is worth listening to because these people actually did remind me of the phrase "profiles in courage." You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show.
For the first time in 100 years, a vote for Speaker of the House went to multiple ballots, not just multiple ballots, but 15 in total, before House Republicans settled on California Congressman Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House. All the way back in the immediate aftermath of the 2022 midterms, there was already rumbling. Speaker of the House in waiting, Kevin McCarthy, was going to have trouble securing the 218 needed votes in order to become Speaker. With GOP margins in the House slimmer than many predicted, this gave members of the Freedom Caucus and others a golden opportunity to exert disproportionate leverage on McCarthy and House GOP leadership to change certain rules in how the House would be run. Originally, there were about 5 representatives who spoke up early on saying they would resist voting for McCarthy. That number swelled to 19 representatives by the time voting for House Speaker began, and 20 after the first few rounds. Those holdouts who held the line and won the fight against the status quo are Chip Roy of Texas's 21st Congressional District, Dan Bishop of North Carolina's 8th, Scott Perry of Pennsylvania's 10th, Andy Biggs of Arizona's 5th, Matt Rosendale of Montana's 2nd, Bob Good of Virginia's 5th, Andy Harris of Maryland's 1st, Mary Miller of Illinois' 18th, Ralph Norman of South Carolina's 5th, Anna Luna of Florida's 13th, Michael Cloud of Texas's 27th, Eli Crane of Arizona's 2nd, Paul Gosar of Arizona's 9th, Byron Donalds of Florida's 19th, Keith Self of Texas's 3rd, Andrew Clyde of Georgia's 9th, Josh Brakeen of Oklahoma's 2nd, Lauren Boebert of Colorado's 3rd, Matt Gaetz of Florida's 1st, and Andy Ogles of Tennessee's 5th Congressional District. Those 20 stubborn congressmen and women endured days-long attacks from GOP leadership, Donald Trump, the majority of supposedly right-wing media, basically everyone on the right who was agnostic to or in support of 15 days to slow the spread, spent oodles of time last week badgering these 20 representatives. Take Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, for example, who probably has the biggest balls in Congress based on these two clips alone.
Even having my favorite president call us and tell us we need to knock this off, I think it actually needs to be reversed. The president needs to tell Kevin McCarthy that, sir, you do not have the votes, and it's time to withdraw.
I asked you a simple question, Congresswoman. I feel like I'm getting a liberal answer from a liberal.
I'm not going to support Kevin McCarthy, Sean.
Okay, so even if you only have 30 votes,
Kevin McCarthy,
you will not abide by what you told President Trump to abide by.
I feel like we've made progress. Look, I love President Trump. You're not going to turn me on him. You're not going to pit him against me.
Not trying to pit him against you. That's what you said to him.
Florida Representative Byron Donalds, who initially supported McCarthy, then changed course after a couple of rounds of voting, was asked if he feared retribution.
Man, I'm 6'2", 275. I'm not worried about that.
At one point, after yet another round of late-night voting where McCarthy didn't have the votes, Alabama Congressman Mike Rogers attempted to physically assault Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. After the dust had settled, however, McCarthy wasn't indeed voted in as Speaker of the House, but not before granting these 20 representatives a treasure chest full of establishment capitulations. As a result of the 20 holdouts, the House will give conservatives procedural power through the Rules Committee to control consideration of all major bills and amendments, independent from party leadership. Also, the House will now create a modern-day church-style committee with full authority and resources to hold the national security state accountable. The rules also commit the House to balance the budget in the next 10 years with substantial cuts to federal pork and will enforce those commitments on upcoming votes on the debt limit. It also allows any member of the GOP caucus to force a vote to remove Speaker McCarthy. And that's just the start. In all, this was a leverage play that benefits flyover country more than the swamp not seen in perhaps a generation.
Powerful.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Dejaman.
Yeah,
Mitchell,
I mean,
Jeff.
To be honest with you, I didn't know. I knew there was a problem. I didn't know exactly until, you know, what actually spilled out in the end, the reason why they held out. And to me, these are the unsung heroes, aren't they? They took all the stick that could be thrown at them. Even President Trump was having a go, get on it, you know, and all that. But they knew that when he found out exactly what had been going on, he will say, I'm sorry I made that comment. And you know that's going to happen. He will meet each one of them and apologise for doubting what they were trying to achieve, because they've done it as a team and they realise that it's so important, no matter who said what, that they were going to stay the path. And that's exactly what they did. Courageous, brave, I'd say, that sums them all up. I salute every single one of them, because I was like many people. I didn't know what was going on, Dave. Don't forget, I'm sitting this side of the bond. So I was thinking, what is going on? You know, what, see, unless you know, of course you do think, what's going on there? But, you know, if you hold your gun, die bam, by your side, and it unfolds, then you think, ah, now I know. So it totally enlightened us, didn't it, Dave? And yeah, well done to those 20 reps there. You've done a hell of a good job, more so than what most people was expecting. So, yeah, good on you. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, Jeff, yeah. Well, hey, yeah, it's what I said. It's profiles in courage, because it's really hard to, you know, go through all of the mess that those people went through when they knew they were right. But so many of the media that they thought would be on the side of conservatism actually turned out to be on the other side. So they get gigantic kudos from me. As I said, if you ever get a chance, This is for people in the United States and people in the UK and other countries if you're interested. Profiles in Courage is still out there. And it's a heck of a book to read, and it talks about some people who went through great adversity because they knew they were correct, and yet they stuck to what they were doing despite all of the stuff that they went through. And that's Tommy Robinson, and that's not Nigel Farage. And sometimes it takes courage to hold out for the good things, and sometimes it takes courage to tell the truth in a chat where you have a lot of Nigel Farage fans and they don't like that. Well, guys, I'm always going to do that. Jeff's always going to do that. You're always going to get that here. Even when the truth hurts, even when it hurts us, we're going to tell it. All right? Jeff,
well said, Dave, and I do know that you did suffer the slings and stones by some of the Farage supporters. I wasn't there, but I just presume that, yes, they did, probably a few of them had gone on the attack. But I know you, Dave, you're stubborn as me, you held your gun and you told the point, as they tell the truth, shame the devil. And that stands out of what you was telling me, Dave, you know. But well done to you, Dave. And I think you're glad that you went there, because it's a great talking point, isn't it, you know? So, it was sad that Ken had technical problems. Otherwise, you might not have gone to it up for that, might you? Not been there. So, in some ways, it's funny how fate can throw you into these things. Oh, I'll have a look and see what we in the bag. Before you know it, you're going toe-to-toe with people over that point. So, maybe you was meant to be in that position that night, Dave. How about that?
Well, Jeff, I have thought that maybe the spirit, kind of compelled me to go there, because I'd seen things in the mail about the Gettys, and I was like, oh, great, awards. But I decided, hey, what the heck, to go in there. And now I'm glad I did, because it's allowed us to kind of bring things back to a kind of absolute zero when it comes to comparison of Nigel Farage to Tommy Robinson. I think that you, Jeff, have stated the case very well, and I think I have too. And hopefully for the few people that had a go at me, there weren't very many, and it wasn't very much, but hopefully for them, they'll get what where I'm coming from, and maybe do a little bit of their own research involved
maybe
in this.
Maybe they listen to this show and our podcast. Maybe they look at that and they'll see exactly what we're talking about. Maybe if they're not so up at Nigel Farage's backside, they will come and listen to it with an open mind and to take on board everything that we've been talking about this evening. So there you go, those people. And I do know you said that some of them might be listening in, but they've always got the podcast to listen to, haven't they, Dave? So I'll say, listen, with an open mind, and even though you like Nigel Farage, well, I don't, so we're on opposing sides, but at the same time, you know, listen to it with an open mind. You know, it was 17 million of us who voted for Brexit. It just wasn't Nigel Farage saying, you've got to do this. No, if anybody done anything that sort of made things a little bit different, it was your future president, Donald Trump. So there you go. Thank you, President, for highlighting the issue. With that, Dave, back to you. What a night. I haven't quite lit the fuse and went on the major rant tonight, but maybe calm and controlled rant, Dave. How's that? Is that saying all right?
Well, Jeff, you stated the case extremely well, and yes, the real hero, Mr. and it wasn't just Mr. Brexit, it was Mr. and Miss and Mrs. Brexit, and that was the men and women of the United Kingdom who went and voted and made it happen and struck a big blow for freedom, despite what's happened since then, because it shows what's in the true hearts of the people of the United Kingdom. And I want to thank you, Jeff, for a great show. I want to thank Bigfoot for being in the chat. Appreciate you, buddy. Bigfootplace.blogspot.com. Now, I'm going to do my finals real quick, Jeff. Please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy at Spreaker.com. My shows come on at 1 p.m. In the U.S. Monday through Friday. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. Monday through Friday, and I have new shows, or new to you shows, on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States, and that is Saturdays at 5 a.m. in the U.K. I'm also on with Ken McClinton on the Exceptional Conservative Show on TECN.TV, and that happens at after 9 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays in the United States. And that's going to be after 2 a.m. GMT in the U.K. But I tell you what, guys, you can always catch all that stuff on Ken's Rumble page. And you can access that through the link that's in our show page. All right. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers and angels and all of those who seek the truth, even when it hurts, the good, the bad, and the ugly, even about the people you like the most, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender ever. Jeff,
yeah,
back to you.
Jeff,
ready to go.
Comment. Thank you for that. I just want to say something that you said in this script this evening. It's just a short thing, but this is how I want to leave it with our great patriots out there. The truth is the sword and the shield of patriots across the planet, however hard it sometimes is to hear. No surrender ever. There you go, guys. Dave, I think we'll use these words more in the future as well. I hope we hold that for, you know, other shows, because that stood out all night. I kept looking at it all night. I do really like what Dave said there. So kudos for you, Dave, for putting that script together tonight. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
All right, well, the jam is ready to rock and roll, guys. So, God bless to everybody. All right, take it away, fellas. Good night, Jeff.
Good night, everybody. Cheers, Bobby.
People might say my life is in a rut. I'm quite happy with what I got. People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy I got the upright things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than mine. But you feel a sense for far from its right. And the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. Pleasure as a hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. See, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and the place you're trapped. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be giving machines with hope for rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Tomorrow, la 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 la.
cheers, lads. We'll see you again next week. Just before I go into to close down the show for this evening, I just thought there's a couple of comments that I just want to make. What we was talking about just earlier. After 15 rounds, white smoke appeared above the Capitol building, and the message "Habemus Speakerum" went out. And then Bigfoot says, "Thanks and good night." And I think that's what we was talking about. Kevin McCarthy getting the nod, you know, getting the vote sort of thing. So I just want to just clarify. I'm sorry I missed that earlier because I spoke about it earlier, Bigfoot. But thank you for joining us tonight. It's always good to see you, brother. You keep well. But anyway, I'm just going to come back into the studio and just say, wow, it's been one good show tonight. I feel good about what we've done this evening. And it's just, you know, opening the can of worms about certain people, which we had to do, you know. The guy seems to think he walks about with a shield and he's nothing of the sort. But certain people we know should have that shield and armour. You know. Anyway, all I've got to say is I hope you, our great ladies and gentlemen, our great audience out there, have enjoyed the show tonight. I know I've appreciated this show this evening. With my dear friend Dave doing the greatest slides and a script tonight. As I say, it's very unusual for me to comment on certain aspects of what Dave, I had to make a point just to repeat something that Dave said. It's wonderful stuff. So anyway, all I'm going to do is, I'm just going to, just 1 second, ladies and gentlemen, I've just got to do this and say, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off tonight. But we'll see you again next Sunday. Have a great week, guys. God bless. No surrender ever. Good night, guys.